Jonathan is one of those hyper-gifted individuals. Not only has this served our family and business, but it shows up through some rather interesting side hustles. Join me today as I interview him. Welcome back to this episode of The Catholic Money Show. I am so thrilled to do this because I get to sit down and interview the one, the only, Jonathan Texera, my co-host. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now that we have these formalities out of the way, we can give a little context to today's episode. As I mentioned, you are one of those hyper-gifted individuals. And when I typed in the word hyper-gifted, the first search result on Google was hyper-gifted or ADHD? Or are they the same thing? Which made sense.
Google knows me.
You've had ADHD since before we even met. But you have always been a creative. I knew this within days of meeting. I mean, we weren't dating. You could just tell by looking at you, Mr. Long Hair. You always had original things. Mm. Like, I think you drew on your shoes.
You
had creative book covers. I don't know. You were always doing creative things. You could just tell you were kind of an artiste. And then to cap it off, that the summer training, we were at Focus New Staff Training when we met. There was a talent show, and then you proceeded to do, and this is actually on YouTube out there if people want to witness
you
it.
You don't need to.
Oh, you do. You do need to. Jonathan did a presentation on stage about anagrams. Is that what those were?
Yeah, anagrams.
Where you rearrange a word and it creates something else.
You rearrange all the letters, it turns into a different word.
And it ended up with him cutting his hair off on stage and people having a total fit.
It went crazy. People cried. One guy said he almost threw up. He was so excited about it.
It was so much fun. I remember laughing hysterically and thinking, wow, this guy knows how to work a crowd. And this is the opposite of me. And so I'm glad somebody has these and can entertain all of us. Years later, we started dating. We got married. Mm-hmm. And I began to kind of tap into your talents. And thus was born a pattern that I think not only helped you discover more of your giftedness, but then was able to pull some of those gifts out and create really cool things. I remember one of the earliest ways I pulled on this was first year of marriage. We were at a new staff training. Again, we were at a lot of those. And I was in charge of planning a Focus Greek mixer party
for missionaries
who were working with students in Trinity and Sorority Greek Life.
It was very new back then. Brand new.
Super
almost.
New. That was my first year going into that role. And I needed to plan a social. Uh-huh. We were at the lowest of low of infertility days, I think. For me personally, I think it was year two. So I was massively depressed. Like basically spent most of the time either in the chapel or pulled up.
Yeah.
Not talking. I had to plan this mixer. And eventually I think you kind of got me to give you some ideas. Uh-huh. And then you went and made a hysterical promo video.
So it was a Focus Greek, right?
Yeah.
So Animal House.
You made an Animal House video.
It was a toga party. So there's the scene.
I don't even think I came up with toga. I think you came up with toga.
I don't even know. Anyway, there's a scene where the guy's like, let's have a toga party. And so I spliced you into that scene, cut to you in our room or whatever.
Yes.
To, who was it? John Belushi being like,
toga.
So yeah, it was a great
video.
We made
that, and then I think you honestly arranged ordering. I think you arranged some speakers. I mean, you really pulled it together because I didn't have the capacity to. Mm-hmm. And I think at that moment I was like, ah, I can lean on him for stuff. Mm. Hey, I want to design a Bible study. Can I have you do that?
Uh-huh. So you and a friend wrote it, and then I designed it on the paper and the page and how it looked and all that. Uh-huh.
And then we had started a blog together back blogging was a thing. And
you came into my world of already blogging.
You designed it and then kind of designed some other friends'.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Then when the adoptions came about, you designed a puzzle for us to fundraise.
Mm-hmm. Then we sold that a couple times to other
exactly.
couples.
Then we started our business. And obviously, you've been the master of creativity all around there. Mm-hmm. It's just been evident that over the years, you have tons of creative talent. And then there's many reasons God matched us.
Yes.
But I have a knack for coming up with ideas, but I don't know how to happen. And you know how to make everything happen.
Thank you.
And you know how to, you just have that uncanny ability to actually translate this pie in the sky idea into mm-hmm. something concrete that I'm holding now. Oh, yes. It's awesome. Looks great. It blows everything out of the water that's out there.
Oh, shucks, hon.
Should I build you up some more?
Keep going. One example is the Catholic Family Emergency Binder.
Yes.
You had this idea, and then I thought, oh, yeah, that's really good. And then what was it, a week later?
A couple of weeks later, there it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have this ability to do something like that. I cannot count how many times I've had an idea for something, and then we went to go look online, and what was available was just super
so great.
Subpar. And then you went and made this tremendously awesome version. For our family a couple of years ago, we needed like a little time calendar, like for the kids to be able to understand the schedule through the day, but they couldn't understand time yet.
Yeah.
And so you drew on these little wooden blocks, activities like eating or
play inside,
watching a movie
play outside,
or going to grandma's or praying the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they could rearrange these little wooden blocks to visually see our day.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that? Who comes up with that? You do, but it was the perfect solution for our family.
It was good.
Yeah. So Jonathan is one of those guys that at any given moment, you really could have, I could pull out 13 ideas from my back pocket and you could turn it into $1 million.
Wow.
I couldn't. I just have the idea, but no ability to make it happen. And you have all the ability to make it happen. You're the workhorse.
Yeah. I know, that's a donkey.
But you know how to make it look good.
Yes.
So you're also kind of the show horse.
Thank you.
You're the whole package.
Quite a horse over here.
That's what I'm saying. All right. So I won't build you up and make you blush anymore.
Thank you.
But I did want to start interviewing you.
Please.
After I've given people a little bit of context on your talents. Let's just do a quick overview.
Please.
How have you earned money? Because we're talking about side hustles here.
Yeah.
Okay. You've done a ton of things for free. Let's just call that like you're very generous. How have you earned money using your creativity in the past, let's call it decade?
So that's pretty much our marriage. We starred in Reborn.
That was one of the earliest things.
The Augustine Institute on Formed. So maybe you've gone through baptism prep and you had to watch these videos on Formed. You probably saw us.
Mm-hmm. That was fun. Did you rope us into that?
Somebody reached out and
I
said, absolutely, we will do this. Yeah.
That was so fun. I think we weren't paid a ton, but
that opening
scene.
I love that opening scene.
Really?
Because we had to, he was like rushing out the door to get to the hospital, but like I forgot everything. So I'm running in and out, tripping.
Fantastic. Yeah, you were great. See, I remember that.
That was a good one.
I remember that opening scene a little differently.
Yeah, yeah.
The woman that has had infertility for 11 years had to put a fake pregnant belly on. I remember looking in the mirror as I was standing in the bathroom, just like chuckling and laughing. I mean, I had been at a place of healing.
Yeah.
It was 3 years in at that point. And I don't need to get too into the story, but I remember just looking in the mirror and laughing at this and saying, oh, you owe me. You owe me.
This wasn't exactly what I had in mind when I was talking to you about this, but I guess we'll go with it.
And it was just kind of an acknowledgement of like, okay, you'll take care of me. I'm going to do this, but you're going to take care of me. Hey, Jesus. Good. We're good. Mm-hmm. And then you looked like the bumbling buffoon trying to get the car loaded.
Of course.
Okay. So that was fun.
Along with that, I think there's been some speaking gigs or emceeing.
Oh yeah. You've had a ton of those.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you used to have you had a keynote on Mario.
Oh yeah. I went all over the place for that mm-hmm. one. Yeah.
You kind of took that on tour.
Hey, if you're still interested, I'm available.
And Mario is still relevant.
Of course he is. He's amazing. So yeah, that was great. I went all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
California, Alabama, Texas. It was great.
Time.
Did a little tour. So did that and then emceeing different events mm-hmm. for folks.
Oh yeah. And you were even a
auctioneer.
Can I take $10 on it?
Yeah. I don't know if I was good, but
you did it.
It was good. Yeah, I did it. So I've done that. I have an Etsy shop. Still figuring out Etsy.
It has yet to.
We've had some sales, but still trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And to give it time. I haven't given it a lot of time.
Etsy's one of those things that I have heard when I've listened to different things that you really have to be in it. Mm-hmm. You got to play with it, poke with it. Tune around, like
much.
You just haven't done that, but you have sold on
I've got some stuff. Yes, I've got a couple sales.
And I would say under that would be you designing Catholic wedding programs.
Oh yeah.
Yes, because
those were my first things
for our wedding.
Sell.
You yes. made a 17-page explanatory 32 page explanatory mass program.
It was really good.
It was so good, and you were essentially like the go-to guy.
Yeah, then
if somebody wanted to have a wedding program that was not only beautifully made, but also liturgically very rich, and then had a component of evangelization, mm-hmm. being able to explain the different parts of the Mass and why they were where they were, etc. Mm-hmm. It was you were the go-to guy on that. Still are.
Yeah, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. As anyone, a lot of folks who are probably familiar in the Wallet Win realm know about my salsa.
Mm.
So we learned a salsa recipe years ago.
Years ago.
And it's been a hit ever since. It's won.
It's not really
salsa
a recipe.
Contest. It's a list of ingredients.
It's a loose recipe.
A list of ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an interpretation of amounts of those ingredients. And I've tweaked it a little bit since we've gotten it. And yeah, it's won awards. It's a seller. So I've sold it before. I just sold it again at a craft fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of ramped up production. I made a bunch of jars. I actually canned them. So we're kind of getting to the next level there. That one, I've had some success. So now I'm putting a little bit more time into it. Mm-hmm. See how it grows.
And you very much enjoy that.
Oh yeah. Who doesn't love salsa? Also popcorn, sell popcorn, did that at the craft fair. I've done that before, less formally, but also a huge hit. And also, I love that.
That one was, I'll say this, it was born out of, we like to go to the pumpkin patch every fall.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. who doesn't love kettle corn? Everybody loves kettle corn. And our family would go, and the pumpkin patches, kettle corn was just... Sometimes you get a batch that was too salty,
was
and sometimes it was
too.
A little bit burned. And then, yes, it was.
And every time it was pricey.
Every time it was, you know, $7.50
every batch
for a small
expensive bag.
And that wasn't sustainable after spending what we did for season passes.
Yeah, and going all the time. So.
Yeah, so when we always wanted to go. So you learned how to make kettle corn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you began to spice it up. And then it became cinnamon vanilla kettle corn.
Yep.
You began experimenting with flavors. And then every time we'd show up at a party, your whatever, ranch corn, Italiano blend,
ooh, the Italiano.
Kettle corn
yep.
would be bottomed out.
Yep.
Yeah. So that one kind of came to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just like to experiment.
Yeah. I've got a couple more in the pipeline.
Okay. So what else?
I'd say then the other one, probably the one that I've made the most on is websites. And graphic design.
Unsurprising, because you're super techie. Mm-hmm. You're just one of those people who's been ahead of the game on this.
I had a website in 7th grade.
You're an early adopter.
Yes.
Through and through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I fall on the opposite end of extreme late adopter. in every way. Phrases, technology. Yes. Mm-hmm. So
you just now got a smartphone.
Exactly.
No, just kidding.
We're good balance there. And then one other that I'll point out. I don't know if you were going to mention it, but reselling.
Oh, yeah. Buying stuff and selling it again. Yeah.
Or your specialty. Or not so specialty. We'll talk about that in a second. Finding things on the side of the road and reselling.
Hey, there we go.
You've had some that have worked out.
And then some that are still waiting.
Yes.
We're carrying a little bit of inventory. That's all.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so maybe this will kind of dovetail nicely into this next question. Mm. How do you discern between creative work that lights you up, that's a great side hustle, versus burning you out, maybe not so?
Some ways it's in the question. It's no good if it leaves, at least for me, if it leaves me worn out and tired or don't want to go do it. Or just a pain. I'm not getting paid very much for the work I'm putting in. That might be one reason I've probably gravitated more to websites and design. It pays decent and I really like it.
Yeah, I would say that one can only do so much on our own website before it's tinkered with enough.
And I've learned a whole lot doing our website. Little ways to squeeze extra features out of different platforms. Easy ways to connect stuff together.
Ways to find secret deals on things.
Also true.
By searching their code.
Yes. So, so it's nice to be able to use that knowledge and those skills to help other people, especially other Catholic entrepreneurs and businesses. Mm-hmm. Because they just don't have those skills. And I guess I never knew I was good enough to do this. Mm. I had a stint where I worked at a website hosting company.
Yeah.
Selling hosting to people who make websites for people.
Right.
And I would see some of the websites they made.
And you were like,
and
what
I thought,
the heck?
I just thought, okay, so this person is making money. Making this website. Well, if they can do that.
What I would have made.
I could definitely do it.
It's so much better.
There's definitely some folks I helped who are very, very good. And then there are some other folks who I just thought, okay, I guess I am good enough to do this. Mm-hmm. And so took the plunge, started doing that stuff, and it's been really good. It's been really fun. Because a lot of folks, yeah, they have the idea, kind of like you. They have an idea for something.
They just cannot make it happen technologically.
Or they really like, you know, loving on their people or providing some service or whatever it is. They have no idea how to get that on a website, how to make that website.
Or they
get people to be interested or whatever it is. And so I get to come in, go boop, 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 and give them a great site.
Or I'll say, you know, for the tech resistant or maybe the tech illiterate, as I would classify myself. Even though things have been are easier than ever out there nowadays with different platforms that you can use to host a course or a community or even a website, it takes me, even today, I'm talking about you and I in our own business. Mm-hmm. If I have to pull off a task, it takes me 2 hours to maybe tweak a graphic and get it uploaded where it needs to be. It would have taken you 4 minutes. So there's just this, you operate at warp speed and sometimes I'm stressed out watching you clicking things. I can't handle all the browsers you have open and the shortcuts you're using on your computer. But it's so crazy to me that someone could, I do it all the time in our own business, but somebody else could, if they don't want to sit down because they know it's going to take them 70 hours to build this thing. They could instead hire you to do it and you'd probably have it done in 10 to 12 hours and it looks so much better than had they even put 70 hours. I don't know how that's possible, but make that possible.
Thanks.
So it's worth paying you to do those things, except while it wins. do those things.
It just goes from one pocket to the other.
Just part of your salary.
Yeah. One of my jobs.
Yeah, one of your things. So tell me about, so you talked about how you were able to identify, okay, this website building, that was really probably your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say the popcorn and the salsa selling is under that too?
Yeah, it's fun too.
Tell me about
the top ones.
One of the things that, yeah, you've made money doing creatively, but it either burned you out or it didn't fit the family or it just wasn't worth it.
You may have noticed I don't really make wedding programs anymore.
I have noticed that. People have put in requests.
Yes, they do put in requests. But usually, in order to make it reasonable for the printing costs, my time put into it, and their time, it gets expensive, especially for smaller to medium-sized weddings. Because the time's the same, whether they invite 50 people or they've invited 500 people.
What you create is, what's that word I'm looking for? An heirloom product?
Oh.
Is that what you call it or no?
Heirloom, but.
Not heirloom, craft. What's that word?
It's bespoke.
Bespoke. That's more what I was going for. Yes. In order for someone to be able, you need to have a large wedding. A very large wedding.
Yeah, a large budget and maybe a large wedding. So it's not like, wait, it's how much per thing?
Mm-hmm.
So
really the only clients that end up making it be able to work for you are ones mm-hmm. that have a larger wedding where you can drive printing costs down and they have a couple $1,000s that they're willing to spend on wedding programs alone.
Yeah, a lot of it is the printing costs, right?
And most people,
32 color pages and all that.
They come to you saying like, you do all the back and forth, but they...
And it's a ton of work because they got, here's the readings. Here's mm-hmm. the mass parts that we've picked. There's so many choices for that.
And then they come
here's
to you wanting
songs.
It to be $10
here's
a program.
Here's that. They want it to be $2 a program.
Yeah, and you just can't
and
do
it's
that.
Just, so it's a ton of work. It's really hard. There's so many moving parts and details to be coordinated.
And then they oftentimes don't get you the information you need.
Or
quickly.
They don't know what they need. It's just, it's a lot of work. So that don't happen too often.
Yeah. Yep. There we go. That's all we need to say about that one. Also, there's some copyright things that you've
right.
maybe...
Yeah, right. The mass is, I think, probably copyrighted by the, I don't know if it's the USCCB or the church, somebody. And so it's like, for ours, I'll just make some stuff. If I'm going to be selling it and all this, there's probably some licensing hoops to jump through and
to make
again,
that
it's
ethical.
More time.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
But I mean, if somebody's still interested, it's the right setup.
And you can get the right permissions.
If you've got the time, then it might still be good, but don't do it too much.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to.
So that's what the lesson is there mm-hmm. is. That balance between, right, there's something people want, there's something you like doing, and then there's the things that make you money. And so there's a balance there, right? How much do you like it? Balance with how much money do you make doing it? Balance with how much demand there is for it at that price too, right? If there's something you don't like really love, but you're going to make $1,000 an hour washing dishes or something, like,
and you need the money.
Get me the rubber gloves. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wash those dishes for $1,000 an hour. So there's that balance there. So it's like it's just a lot of hassle. In order to sell it well, the price just doesn't match up.
Right. Yeah. And we've talked about in trainings before, a side hustle versus a side hassle. And the kind of nailing that balance, threading the needle in the right way. I would say one of the ways you have made money and you've made the good money is reselling.
Yes.
Items that you sell on the side, find on the side of the road, or maybe you find at a thrift store. Mm-hmm. We both have made money doing this and it can be fun for us.
Sure.
But we have also gotten to the point where I now lump this into a side hassle for you.
Interesting.
Because I loathe clutter and stuff. And you talked about there's some inventory.
Yes. Carrying inventory right now.
Lots of broken and requires fixing.
She's talking about one thing in particular.
I don't like things sitting around. I don't like things sucking up space. I don't like things that appear messy. So I'm writing your back about it, which then makes it upsetting.
Sure.
So then
we're
all
good
of a sudden,
at identifying mm-hmm. the items that can be turned around and sold. When we do list things, they usually get sold.
Yes.
But we still are tripping over that process that's in between buying the thing and getting listing it.
Yeah, we just let it, bring it home
problem.
And it sits.
That's what we need to figure out.
Instead of this instantaneous.
Then we're in.
And if, I'm gonna get, like, personally, this is just we'll hash this out here on the podcast.
Oh, joy.
We'll give ourselves a date of all our inventory that we currently have must be by. Mm. And if not, we're probably going to be liquidating and just donating and getting out of the side hustle.
Whoa.
Because I mentally can't handle.
I really like the side hustle.
But I can't handle.
Great. We're going to get it listed. Is that date night this week?
Oh. Oh. It's Christmas week. We have too many other things to do. But it's one of those things where sometimes a side hustle, it's got to have buy-in on both spouses.
Mm.
When you do websites and whatnot, I have to be committed to kids.
Giving me more time.
So, yeah. And that's one that I don't mind. I actually enjoy that. I prefer that. I choose that.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm giving up space to clutter, as my brain sees it, it's not as generous of a give. So sometimes that would fall into that burning you out or burning your family out category.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you really leaned into the websites. You love the making popcorn. You came up with a name that kind of houses all of your side hustle efforts. What is that?
Salt Pinch Creative Co.
How did you come up with that?
I was trying to find a name that wasn't taken.
Okay.
Anyway, so I went through a bunch, and then I thought, I don't know how I thought about this one, but somebody's got something good going on. This is especially more for the websites and stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody's got something good that they're doing, and I'm just the pinch of salt makes it more
seasons
of what
it
is.
And takes it right to where it needs mm-hmm. to be. I like it. With the co.
Yeah.
That's you being cool.
So cool.
And ahead of the times. The dot co.
Well, Salt Pinch create. Well, saltpinch.com is taken, but it's not used for anything.
Okay.
So then I have saltpinchcreative.com, which is forwards, but it's in the name. Like the name of the thing is Salt Pinch Creative Co. So why not use .co?
Saltpinchcreative.com.
And it's cool and creative.
It's super cool. And you came up with this a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And you've had the opportunity to do really fun things. I'm jealous sometimes when you're on Salt Pinch client calls.
Mm.
I'm like, ah, he gets to hang out with them.
I do have some fun.
He gets to hang out with her. Mm-hmm. Great. No, I'm just kidding. I'm with the kids.
Yeah,
I'm good.
And you meet them and you get to be friends.
Yeah, but I'm like, ah, they're having so much fun down there. I hear them laughing, coming up with brilliant ideas. Uh-huh. And so, it's fun to support that effort that you've been doing. It's just been neat to see some of those, like you had mentioned, really cool ideas that maybe wouldn't have gotten off the ground as quickly if you didn't come pinch of salt.
Bingo.
And then your salsa,
mm.
Do you have a name for that?
JT's Salsa Picante.
You have a label?
Absolutely. Everything. I have a label. Makes it look cooler.
I know.
Which makes people want to buy it more.
Mm-hmm. Will there be a popcorn label?
Absolutely.
You have some big ideas.
I do have some very big
ideas. Really big ideas.
Very small pockets of time.
Really fun ideas. Yeah, I'm like, oh man, when our kids are just a little bit older, There's about four or five businesses waiting to just burst into life.
Yeah.
That you, yeah, you have waiting in the back pocket.
We'll work on it.
Some really fun ones. Okay. So how could the bulk of your side hustles is really your website building, technological skills, mind skills. It's all work together. Who is an ideal client for that? And then how could they work?
Ideal client is a Catholic entrepreneur or business or organization who has good ideas, right? They know what they want to sell or the service they want to provide. They don't know how to have a great website, or they need help getting set up on offering a course or selling a product or whatever it might be. They just don't really know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And so they come to me, we chat about it, and then we come out the other side with a website or set up on a platform, whatever they need. So it looks really well, really good. It works really well. They're set up. And in that process, not only are we working on like just getting the site up or whatever, but also I'm lending, I mean, all our years of expertise running the business of like, hey, what if we did this? What if you priced it like this or did this strategy when it first comes out? And so you get some extra
built-in experience.
Yeah, just some extra tools in the belt for when folks are doing it. So I, websites, setting up people on a course platform. Yep. And making it all work and talk to each other. So that's the ideal client who has a clear idea, knows at least an idea of what they want and is looking to get it done.
Okay. And then how could they work with you? Like how, if somebody's listening to this and that's them, or head somebody over, knows somebody.
Head on over to saltpinchcreative.co and there's a form, a contact form. Fill that out and we'll have a chat.
There you are. And if you want to buy salsa.
If you live in the state of Nebraska, I can sell you salsa.
Yes.
If you don't, yeah, and I probably can't sell you a jar that happens to have free salsa in it. That's probably not against the rules, technically.
But. Oh, because of cottage laws?
Yeah, it's a cottage industry. It's not in a commercial kitchen. Anyway.
So, just,
if you're in Nebraska,
just
let
you
me
Nebraskans.
Know, and you're going to have some happy taste buds.
Yes, the salsa is sought after. Sought after. Okay, so just a quick recap. You know, you have all this creative talent, and over the last decade, you've kind of found the ways in order to express that, but also add meaningfully to our family's income. Mm-hmm. And you've whittled out ones that burn you out and don't bring you life, and honed in on the ones that really spark joy, for lack of a better term, and you really enjoy and get to use your giftings in. And you're constantly discerning that and fine-tuning that process. And people can reach out to you at Salt Pinch Creative Co. if they want to learn more.
Yes. And for you listening, I encourage you to check out a side hustle that you might have, to develop it, to pour into it a bit. You know, by being over the years getting better and better and better at design, at telling stories that way, I'm able to give in a deeper way. Mm-hmm. We had our big building campaign up at our parish. And I was able to just
for a new
through
building.
Volunteering do the branding and craft the messaging and all that.
Gave the presentation.
So there's the speaking.
Helped fundraise way over the goal.
Yes, we did a really great job with that. So you know, I think there's another guy at church. I don't think it's his like main job, but like he makes a bunch of stuff. Like this awesome wood partition thing for the, in the confessional, somebody just made that and it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And so if you have developed some skill, whatever it might be, there's ways, yes, you can make money from it. The also ways,
it's not always about making
money. Once you've developed something, you're like, yeah, I'm pretty good at that. Then you can help people out. You can help up at church, whatever it might be. It's like an extra thing that you can do, right? You don't just have to be the tall guy who can reach stuff on a high shelf or whatever, the strong guy to pick up stuff. You can add other talents too that you've developed.
So there you have it. The whole kit and caboodle on Jonathan's creative adventures. If you have a question about a side hustle you're thinking about, always feel free to reach out, ask us questions. We're available. We are on social media at WalletWin. And if you would be so kind to leave our podcast a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, or Spotify. I think they do reviews as well. And especially those 5-star reviews
they really so do good. Help other people find the show. Mm-hmm. So we truly appreciate that. We'll be back next week for our final 2022 episode of the Catholic Money Show before we kick off the new year.
Oh boy.
So we'll see you then. Bye for now.